get your take on what's going on in terms of world affairs. The White House has issued a statement on this saying that there's no indication of a nefarious intent in the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The ship involved in the collapse of the bridge is 948 feet long, called the Dolly, a Singaporean flagged container. But of course, you've been talking a lot about the potential for wrongdoing or potential for foul play given the wide open border. That is why you have been so adamant. Why has the Republicans had such a hard time securing this border? The president says he's not going to take his executive action. You know that.
Well, we all have to stand together.
Yeah, that's quite a pivot. And that was how things went this week, within minutes of the cargo ship crashing into the Key Bridge, a Singapore flagged cargo ship crashing into the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Well, the right immediately went all in that the real reason wasn't clearly anything but an accident. No, it was something else. In this case, obviously the open border had something to do with it. But this is my favorite. Check out this post from perennial MAGA Florida congressional candidate and idiot Anthony Sabatini in Florida. Yeah, this is what he posted. DEI did this. We all know DEI is the new way of blaming black guy for things, isn't it? I mean, we know this. So it goes on and on from there. You know, they went through all kinds of contortions to blame anyone, of course. The usual jabs at Pete Buttigieg for being gay. The right just has lost their minds. So with so much going on, I thought it'd be a great way to get someone who sees the stupidity the same way I do and catch up on all the really ludicrous stuff going on in our country today. So you know what? Let's get on with the show. This is On Tomorrow's FP Wellman, and I'm your host, Fred Wellman. Man, welcome. As I mentioned prior to the break, I am your host, Fred Wellman. This is On Democracy with FP Wellman. I'm so glad you're here. It is, you know, I say every week it's a crazy week. It is a fucking crazy week this week, okay? And for that, I thought I'd bring in one of my crazy friends. Cliff Sheck is the Daily Observer of Today's Politics on his own Blue Amp channel and on YouTube. 2020 Biden campaign ad writer, CEO of Blue Amp Strategies, best-selling author, Jesus, man, Daily Beast contributor. Cliff, welcome to the show, man. It's fine, great to have you on the show.
Hey, man. Really good to be on the show with you.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Thanks.
So, you know, I did the clip about, you know, the Key Bridge collapse, which is a tragic accident. It looks like six construction workers weren't able to get cleared in time. So those may be the only deaths, you know, and immediately they blamed DEI, open border, infrastructure bill. That was a good one. I saw that one something. I mean, what do you make of this?
How is it not gun control and abortion too?
look, I didn't do enough clips, I don't think. Right. I mean, that's the next thing, isn't it?
These people are such... You know, I do. I mean, they're going to say they're stupid shit right now, and we're going to mock them as we deserve to. And you saw that Biden tweet mocking Trump. Like, people like you and me, I feel like we've been out there pushing the Swalwells and the Plaskets and the people who are so good in the House. We've been changing the culture of our party where we rip them, mock them, and make them look like the idiots they are for these things.
Yeah.
My worry is more the future, because, I mean, Republican elites are willing clearly to say anything, do anything, doesn't matter who it gets killed, doesn't matter what it gets people to believe.
Yeah.
And I mean, insane, right? Like DEI caused the bridge. I mean, I don't know if you know this. I think DEI also caused the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that it caused the Norman invasion in 1077? I don't know. I mean, these guys will just make up anything, say any stupid thing, to have it fit in there. And that's why, like, you can't, which we're going to get into here. Yeah. This is the reason you can't have Ronna McDonald, old McDonald. You can't have her.
Ronald McDonald
on your show.
A famous clown, but well done.
Thank you. I love that I messed up and it turned into a decent joke.
Exactly.
But like, they need to be over here separate from the sane people.
Right.
And they can't be allowed to cross that line to where sane people have real adult conversations.
Yeah.
Because if they do that, then they're going to infect. I look at it like a zombie infection. I really do. They will infect our whole society. And we will, I mean, democracy is based on enough people who have real information and can use reason. And they're breaking down the number of people who that is every day with these stupid fucking things.
Well, so, and it does affect everything, Cliff. I mean, Cliff, it does affect things, right? I saw another clip. I didn't want to run. I could run a million clips of this week, of the stuff. I think later they had Eric Schmidt, my own senator, the junior senator from Missouri, on one of the shows, and he was kind of twisting it to say, because the setup was, well, should we even trust the Biden administration? Because, you know, a lot of people don't trust them now. And the reason people don't trust them is because the weaponization of the DOJ and all. It's like, so basically their lies have causing mistrust or alleged mistrust.
Right.
And then they use that mistrust, you know, to say, oh, look, nobody trusts it. It's their fault. It's really remarkable. I mean, honestly, it's like a fucking abuser, right? It's like, I can't believe you're making me punch you. You know, it's just a bizarre twist. And is this weird bubble and also why they shouldn't govern, right? I mean, we see this translates directly to what we see in the House, right? They can't govern because the problem is, I think, to govern, you have to start with fucking truth, right? And they all hate each other and they can't even agree on the lies that they're trying to sell. And thus, I mean, do you think that's part of the gridlock in the House? Are they just this ridiculous,
oh my God.
You know?
I mean, look, think about, it's like a big moron loop, right? Like you make up stupid shit that didn't happen. Hunter Biden met with Darth Vader on the planet Vulcan, you know, to accept money. And then the end result is, then they rely on that later. They're like, see, that's why the bridge fell, because Hunter Biden met with Darth Vader on the planet. Like, right. It's their own self-serving crap.
Right.
And of course they can't govern because they're children. I mean,
right.
I honestly think if you want to understand, particularly the Republicans in the House, but the Republican Party, the MAGA faction, which is now easily 80% to 90%.
Right, it's mostly, right. We used to say it was a minority. Yeah.
Read Lord of the Flies, because I think that is your best example. There are a bunch of children and bullies forming little gangs to pick on each other. Matt Gaetz, I mean, look, am I glad that Kevin McCarthy suffered so much? Yes, because he's a sellout and he's a piece of shit. But you know what? Like, the reason he was thrown out was not because of anything he was doing. It's because Matt Gaetz doesn't like him. And
right. And
Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't like Mike Johnson because Mike Johnson's the one who kicked out Kevin McCarthy, who was going to elevate her. So now she's trying to kick out Mike Johnson. I mean, they're a bunch of fucking, they're like kids fighting over a swing.
And they're fighting over the same lie. And it's funny how the issue is they all won't back the right lies. I mean, that's the punchline of the whole thing, right? I mean, it actually goes to Ronna McDaniel, or Ronald McDonald's, we may call her. You know, Ronna, her big thing was she did perpetuate the big lie. But in the end, she didn't perpetuate the big lie enough or the right way, right? I mean, in the end, that was her cardinal sin.
Right. After doing it for weeks.
She didn't lie enough. And it goes back to what we just talked about, the DEI from the crash. The lie, of course, you have when you pile nothing but lies, there is no truth. And now you're arguing over which lie is the right lie. And she ends up on NBC. And it's funny to see these guys all gnashing their teeth and clutching their pearls that she was kicked out of NBC so quickly. Less than one Scaramucci, I believe, right?
There's about a third of a Scaramucci.
Third of a Scaramucci. You know.
Well, I offered to do this.
Lies.
If NBC would hire me, and I think this is very fair, for
excellent.
$5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be the guy, and the name of my role is don't do stupid shit. So when they're going to hire Megyn Kelly, I can go to them and say, it's going to cost you $60 million. Don't do stupid shit. When they're going to hire Ronna McDaniel, I can go to them and say, she's going to sue you, and she'll probably win millions because of the dumb contract you're with her. Don't do stupid shit. And if they would pay me $5 million a year for that, they would save so much money. So that's my pitch to NBC.
But I think you can work at McKinsey.
Jokes,
I think that's where you can work. That's how you work at McKinsey. I think it's all they do, right? Just tell
right.
You
I mean, beyond the jokes of the whole thing, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, and I'm so glad people stood up. And I, you know, kudos, I don't know how much of it was planned, not planned, but kudos to the folks at MSNBC. I will give for the first time in my life such credit to Chuck Todd, who I never thought I'd say those words, because that was on Sunday. It was right afterwards. She lied again and wouldn't admit that she had lied about the election. His voice was shaking, like quivering when he said it. I think I could rip him all day long for how bad he was at that show. But I think that was a hugely important moment because Chuck Todd holds a lot of weight around there. And when he in that kind of quivering voice was like, I can't believe they put you in this position, I think that sent a signal to some of the MSNBC personalities like, pile on. And then people like you and me piled on. Like I offered them just my advice that, you know, I mean, look, if there's open NFL correspondent positions, they may want to think about OJ and Brett Favre. I mean, they've got some great options, you know, and everybody did their own versions of that to the point where it was untenable and it needed to be. But we have to stay on guard because there's a lot more of these Ronald McDaniels out there who served Trump for an administration or two and have been cast off. And to me, the dividing line is if you're Alyssa Farah, what's her face, who I don't believe, if I'm correct, ever sat there and told the big lie, then I can accept you back into polite society saying I was wrong. And also, if you're out there saying Trump is a danger and you're on the right side of history now. But if you won't do that and you also were pushing the big lie at any moment, that is what led Hitler to gain power. I mean, the big lie, the stabbed in the back theory, this is one of the oldest sort of, you know, tricks of the totalitarians. No, you cannot be allowed back in polite society.
Well, and to pay. I think the line crossed where even if she maybe just had been a guest every now and then and to spread her bullshit. But when they decided to pay her $300,000 a year, whatever it was, over, by the way, and we also know for those of us in the business, those, you know, obviously our viewers probably aren't in the business, and I've only learned about this business. Most of the people you see is these regular guests. It's funny how often, like my friend Rena Shah is accused of being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go on TV. Believe it or not, majority of the people you see going on these panels, going on TV, are not paid contributors in any way, shape, or form.
So, first of overwhelmingly all, majority or not. I almost thought of writing a book, Fred. I mean, seriously, about the stupidity of it. Between about 2002 and when I moved to Ohio, and then they were like, oh, we have to do a satellite link. We're not going to do that. Yeah. You know, so at that point, it was only when I wrote a piece for the Daily Beast and went really big once or twice. O'Donnell had me on or whatever. But between about 2002 and 2010, 12, around there, I must have done 75 to 100 hits. MSNBC, CNN, fewer than that. CNN a few times. MSNBC and Fox, a ton. I mean, don't make me apologize for going on Fox. That was dumb.
I'm good.
But the one thing I got paid, not a cent, and the one time I was a paid contributor, also ironic and hilarious, was in 2004 for Sinclair Broadcast. I was the liberal. I was the liberal who would go on and argue with everybody else. And I'm telling you, if you think I'm Ronald McDaniel or anybody else, I get paid $400 an appearance.
Jesus.
You know, in election night, I think they paid me something like $2,000 as a bonus. I'm not saying I didn't make any money. What I'm telling you is that whole year, if I made $15,000 or $18,000, it was something. It was not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's work. You're running around like a chick with your head cut off. You got to be available all the time. It's funny. If maybe the people who view the show notice, I don't put a lot of my friends who are TV show talking heads on the show anymore, because believe it or not, this is inside baseball for those, because 99%, I'll have to laugh, Matt, the producer, knows, like 99% of the time at the last minute, they got to cancel because MSNBC called or CNN called. Oh, we need you in the studio right now. It's like, you really can't, God bless them. You can't count on them actually being available. I think, who was the last one we had? Shan Wu, who I love. Shan was great. And remember, Shan did the interview in his fucking car because, you know, because it was the only way you could pull it off on a schedule that we could put, you know, because that's the thing. So the idea that they come back and they give Ronald McDaniel $300K and then she has no remorse. She goes back out. Did not change her her story, did not change her talking points from being the head of the RNC to being a paid talking head. But the same lies, the same bullshit. I think that's what really, I think people were mad. For me,
you're right.
We were mad up until she went on Meet the Press. And she wanted to Meet the Press, and it was just Ron on the RNC chair. And also, I go back, and the second point, and probably the final one, is what I think, Cliff, and I love your perspective on this is a perfect example how the media, to include the ones we trust a little, NBC and others, is they still don't fucking get that the world has changed, that the Republican Party is not a party that's just, you know, tight on taxes and believes in fucking freedom, right? That this is a authoritarian movement that doesn't believe in truth, doesn't believe in democracy, okay? Because I guarantee you, just watch the comments in this video, are going to get at least three fuckers who come on and go, oh, it's a constitutional republic, you libtard. You know, boo. You know, and it's just the same shit. And so it just, to me, this entire episode just goes to, well, we always hire, everybody fights over the last, you know, the last party chair. Michael Steele was the last one, I think, got a you know, everybody always, it's just traditional. You know, the White House press secretary goes right into the media. This is the way yep. it's done. But the world has freaking changed. And so when she came out, they said, oh, we're going to do the it's exact same playbook. Because there was a competition to get her. There was a food fight to get her on their network. So I don't know who else competed, but I know that it was reported. I think Puck or something.
I think CNN had some yeah. interest, I yeah. saw. But I mean, I don't know how they don't learn. I mean, if well, you yeah. want me to answer now, I have a few quick perspectives on it. One I love is, it. I don't know how they haven't learned. They're not going to get any viewers. CNN imploded. The ratings have never come back. It was a joke. Chris Licht was a joke. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that the MAGA universe is not watching CNN. A lot of them aren't even watching Fox. Yeah. They're watching far right garbage, Newsmax, RT, propaganda from, you know, online propaganda from various places. So MSNBC or NBC, you're not getting them. If you want to get Adam Kinzinger, you know, or Fred Wellman type former Republicans, the way you get them is the same way you get me, because we're all in the same place now. We may disagree on some issues, but we all agree on the paramount importance of democracy, of our Constitution, of remaining a republic, of all these, of having freedoms, of everybody voting, of, you know, there's a lot of things that we all agree on. And so you can have plenty of Republicans, put Kinzinger on there, or maybe right. he's already on somewhere.
I think
you
he
know,
is.
Put somebody like that, right. and we're fine. But why would you pander to MAGA, who's never going to watch you anyhow? So that's the right. first thing. And the second thing I'll just say quickly is, you know, for me, I'm glad those MSNBC personalities did that. But back in the days when I did the Sinclair thing and all that, you know, I wanted to be on MSNBC. I wanted all that. Yeah. I've now made it my mission, which is if you see media as one of the biggest problems with where we are today, and NBC just proved it again, then I need to have the freedom to rip the living shit out of them on everything. So my whole view is, if they want to have me on sometime to talk about something, they can, but I don't want a contract. I'm not searching for a contract. I like spending 8 o'clock at night with my two sons. I'm not interested in it. And so I have the freedom to say what I really think about any of them. And yeah. I like that freedom.
That's a good point. Well, that's a great place to take a break, say hi to our sponsors, and we'll come right back. The older I get, the more I find myself wanting to be more intentional about the way I live, eat, and take care of my body. Mosh is a company founded by Maria Shriver and her son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, with a simple mission: to create a conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. Now, Maria's father suffered from Alzheimer's, and since then, she and Patrick have dedicated themselves to finding ways to help other families dealing with this debilitating disease. Mosh joined forces with the world's top scientists and functional nutritionists to go beyond your average protein bar with six delicious flavors. Each Mosh bar has 12 grams of protein and is made with ingredients to support brain health, like ashwagandha, lion's mane, collagen, and omega-3s. You know, they also have a line of plant-based protein bars that come in three delicious flavors of their own. But here's the best part to make you feel good about this company. Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. Now, why gender-based? Two-thirds of all Alzheimer's patients are women. Mosh is working closely to close the gap between women and men's health research. So, you know, Mosh bars are truly delicious. I have a Mosh bar every morning before my walk. It's a perfect way to kickstart my day. My favorite Mosh bar is the peanut butter crunch. It's incredible. Now, if you want to find ways to give back to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh bar is the perfect choice for you. Now, head to moshlife.com/Fred. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping in your first 6-count trial pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping in your first 6-count trial pack at moshlife.com/Fred. Thank you, Mosh, for all you do, and thank you for sponsoring this episode. If you're like me, you understand the pain of finding out what to wear each day. I mean, most clothes I have are uncomfortable, never actually the size I really am, and not to mention how much time is wasted trying to find a good outfit. And when you do have a good fit, you can only wear it for a few hours. We have to change for an important meeting or dinner, find a new outfit. Now, everyone wants to dress well at all times because, simply put, it's a confidence booster, even for men like me. Men's closets were due for a radical overhaul and reinvention, and Rhone stepped up to the challenge. Rhone's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and flexible set of products known to man, and here's why. Rhone helps you get ready for any occasion with the commuter collection, which offers the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, and polos. You've never have to worry about what to wear when you have the Roam Commuter Collection. With Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you'll be smelling fresh and clean all day long. And on top of that, Roam is 100% machine washable, so you can just ditch it all in the dry cleaner or ditch the dry cleaner completely, put it all in your own washing machine yourself. You know, I'm obsessed with the Roam Commuter Collection. We're on the move a lot, whether it's I'm catching a flight or I'm going to a meeting or whatever. The Roam Commuter Collection has never let me down so far. The Commuter Collection get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to head to roam.com/Fred. Use promo code Fred to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/Fred and use code Fred. It's time for you to find your corner office of comfort. Check out our sponsor, Roan. I hope you'll buy some outfits today. So other big news, you know, which was a chuckle this week.
That's not it?
Yeah, I know. It's a freaking crazy week. That's why I wanted you on, just so we could like rap about all the crazy shit. You know, usually I just kind of pick one subject and go crazy. I'm like last week tonight. But this week, I mean, How can you, right? So I was up chuckling last night because the big RFK Jr. vice presidential launch rollout. He rented most of a Coliseum in Oakland and nobody was there. I think it was 2.5 hours, Cliff. It took him, you know, like all the networks were like cutting out because he just kept talking. And of all the people he announces, a woman named Nicole Shanahan. And I frame it that way because no one knows. I mean, it's hard to find pictures of this
person.
There's
one important factor about her, which is why he picked her. Well, two. One is she was Sergey Brin's wife, so she has lots of money to help him get independently on ballots.
Yep.
And two, she's attractive, and judging from his past experiences, where I'm sorry, but we're just going to all tell the truth here.
Yeah.
One of his wives committed suicide, and her friends and others and numerous sources said it was because she found his little booklet where he kept a list of all of his conquests, including her friends, their common friends, famous people. I mean, what's her name? Cheryl Hines married him after that. I never understand these things. He's a hollow husk of a person. And the one thing I can say is I met him at a client's conference doing some stuff for trial lawyers. I want to say about 7 or 8 years ago. He was charming. He was nice. He was, you know, but the one thing that it seems to be with all of these guys they have in common, when they become part of what I would call the broader MAGA universe, denying vaccinations, denying that Russia is the aggressor in Ukraine, saying these crazy anti-Semitic statements, all the other stuff that RFK has fallen into away from when he was environmentally active and all the stuff he used to do, is clearly he has mental and emotional issues. Clearly, he was on heroin for 16 years.
Jeez.
That does things to you. I'm not going to claim to be a doctor, but the one thing the MAGA movement has, which is really sad, is we don't know what percentage of them, I'd love to know, are actually mentally ill.
Yeah.
I mean, people like forms of you know, paranoia, forms of just uncontrollable anger, you know, all these other things that people get diagnosed with. This is what the MAGA movement attracts.
Yeah.
And that's how you get people that you used to look at and be like, they seem like a normal person, and they end up on this, on the crazy train. So now he's got Nicole Shanahan. I think she's a lawyer, but, and she may be a very good one. So I'm not going to just, I have no idea, but that's not why she's there.
No.
She's there in any case, because she has a lot of money. And quite likely because he wants to better. I have no proof on that, but I can look at his past history and say,
I want to make it clear to the lawyers, I didn't say that. No, but you're right.
I said probably,
in my opinion.
I have no proof of it. I just want to be clear to any lawyers, I have no proof of it. I'm judging from his past history of the fact that, look, he's done some things in the past that makes me suspicious. Yeah. An opinion. Yeah. I'm not saying.
Well, it is like Trump, right? They'd like to surround themselves with the most attractive people. You know what Trump constantly says, that he always like, oh, they look like they're out of a movie set, right? Even men, he's like, oh, just look at, they came out of Central Casting. It's like, it's always this line about anyone he works with. They have to be photogenic and telegenic. And she did bankroll his Super Bowl ad. She's already put millions of dollars into his PAC that's supporting his campaign. And from what I heard today, I saw a report today saying basically the truth of the matter too is no one else would do it. Basically, all the people he had, those bright eyed Tony Robbins and Aaron Rodgers, everybody approached like, nah, bro, we're good. Because they know they're going to lose.
Tulsi,
you know,
didn't do it unless the Kremlin said to Tulsi, we need Trump and he's going to split. Because this is what people don't get. He is not running anymore on his environmental record or on being pro-choice.
No.
He's running on being a gun nut. And that's the third issue. The second issue is pulling out of Ukraine completely. And the first issue is his anti-vax nuttery any real survey will show you he's going to attract a lot more Republicans. Hell, half our population doesn't even know who RFK was anymore. I mean, right. I hate to say it that way,
no, they don't.
But with the age level now and the lack of education, that's who he's going to attract.
Yeah.
He's going to take more from Trump. Yeah. So in the end, I hope she does get him on some of those ballots, because he will be out there yelling about vaccines, and Trump will have to try to defend the fact that he got a vaccine. It'll box him in a corner. Good luck there.
Yeah. And it really, it's kind of like when you have a libertarian. I mean, I love when libertarians join my races. It's like, okay, because libertarians, they take away Republicans every time. It's like, you know,
that's
funny.
Right. Take that 5%.
Go ahead.
You want to take,
go for it. Because Republicans love to say they're libertarians. They don't really do any research on the candidate. Oh, well, I'm not really a Republican. I'm a libertarian. Like, whatever, dude. And same thing with him.
Libertarian is the way of saying, if you're embarrassed to admit you're a Republican, that you're a Republican.
That's it. So, and then of course you've got, you got Trump. I don't know if you saw Trump actually start attacking RFK already on True Social, which is obviously
telling them.
Oh, he's just a far left Democrat. He's scared. You know, he's scared of RFK.
He knows because he can take a look.
Right.
At,
so he's got to paint him as a Democrat. He's got to paint him as a Democrat. He can't. I think last thing I want to talk about, just at least briefly before we get to the end, is Donald Trump now selling Bibles. You know, and I think we got a short clip. We'll run the clip of Trump when he was asked by the Christian Broadcast Network his favorite verses from the Bible and spending like a minute and a half talking about it.
And you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favorite Bible verses are.
Well,
and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
verses that mean a lot to you that you think about or cite.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that
no,
you like.
No, I don't want to do that.
You're Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal. I think it's just an incredible, the whole Bible is an incredible. I joke. Very much so. They always hold up the Art of the Deal. I say my second favorite book of all time. But I just think the Bible is just something very special.
Anyway, so my favorite part of that clip is when they ask him, like, are you a New Testament or Old Testament guy? He goes, oh, you know, I like both. I like both.
Testament.
I like both those testaments. They're great testaments. You know
what I wish somebody would do, and this is coming from a non-Christian, but someone who went to Episcopalian school for 10 years.
There you go.
Is I wish someone would sit there and make him answer for the story and other Republicans of the Good Samaritan,
right?
And explain their policy on immigration. Yeah. I wish they would make them explain about Jesus sitting down with the lepers and the least among us and the poorest, and then explain their budgets. I really wish our media was a real media and would do those things, because they have stolen and co-opted this persona of somebody who actually was nothing like how they portray him to have been.
Yeah, and it's funny.
I mean, that's asking too much, clearly, because they can't even take a look at Ronna McDonald's and decide that she doesn't belong on the air without us having to tell them.
Well, and that's the thing, right? And you see, I think I saw a tweet today that was it Nigel Farage, one of their conservatives over in England.
Oh, God.
He's not going to go to church anymore because it's too woke. You know, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of the thing. I mean, the point of Christianity was like the ultimate wokeism, right? You know, feeding literally. I mean, could you imagine someone like, some of these mega pastors, you know, washing the feet of the poor or any of the such, you know, it's, and I think I saw, didn't we see a clip
Joel
this week?
Joel Osteen definitely does that.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know which jet of his he does it from, but one of the jets. I can't even imagine being that cynical, that shameless, and that gross. But
yeah. And you saw Charlie Kirk. There was a clip this week of Charlie Kirk at one of his – I think it was Charlie Kirk or was it Shapiro? No, it was Charlie Kirk saying that, you know, there's too many woke pastors and trying to help migrants. And the way you help a migrant is send them back to their country of origin, you know, which is – it's just bizarre.
There's too many woke pastors who actually follow the Bible as it was written.
Right.
You know?
The word of Christ. Yeah, funny how they're like constitutionalist originalists, but not Bible originalists. I mean, about to think, there's a whole series of it. There's a topic right there.
you think the Trump Bibles will like look like his Truth Social post where he'll write stuff in?
Oh,
you know what
God,
I mean? He'll be like, it's disinformate and misinformate that they're selling you.
That
I am the guest person in the world. I mean...
bizarre. Well, you think, and the interesting thing about that Bible he saw, which I think was like $66. We should run a clip of that too. Of
66.6.
Yeah, I know. This is that was the punchline. It includes Lee Greenwood's "God Bless the USA" lyrics, you know, and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and it's got an American flag. It's just. fucking insane, you know?
So he's now,
you
know, desecrated the flag by like humping it on stage.
Yeah.
He's desecrated the Constitution by, in all sorts of ways, telling generals he wants to shoot people in a crowd and a million other ways.
Yeah.
He's desecrated the Bible. But, you know, the right loves him.
Yeah, yeah. It's just no grift. I mean, the guy's a constant grifter, and it'll never end. But, you know, the thing about this show, Cliff, and you're new, is I always try to at least leave on a positive note. I want my guests to roll out, you know, thinking, or my viewers to that we're winning. And the great news is this week we had this special election in Alabama and for a state legislature. And it's funny how people are like, oh, who cares about state? State matters so much. But this one was interesting because Democrat Marilyn Lanz won the special election for a state delegate seat in the suburbs of Huntsville. And what's fascinating about the district is Biden only won half the votes of Trump in 2020 in this district. It's deeply red. And Marilyn herself, Lanz herself, lost the last election she ran on it by 7 points. And polls up until December, her opponent's poll said they were winning by 6 points, and she won last night by 25 points. And she
outperformed Doug Jones there.
Unbelievable. And what did she run on? What did she run on? IVF and women's reproductive rights. That's it. That's basically the whole platform she ran on, because as you know, Alabama, the Supreme Court just said IVF that, you know, frozen embryos are children. Man, I mean, what does that tell you, man? You're an operative at the state level.
Well, I mean, it tells me, you know, we're going to have some decisions to make, because I've been preaching this for a while now. And, you know, I brought up Larry Sabato to you before. The polling that has been out there, I don't know if they're pulling it out of their you-know-wheres. I don't know if they're just terrible at it. It represents nothing close to reality. It doesn't resemble reality. Every time we have another proof, right? Oh, look, Swazi is either down a point or two or tied, wins by 7 or 8. That very same day that Swazi ran, there were two races almost nobody talked about. A state house race in Pennsylvania, where it was a district where we should have won by 16. We won by 35.
Wow.
And there's a district where we should have lost with something like, I think it was about 27% of the vote. And we got like 46% of the vote and almost won an Oklahoma state house seat. They're the Virginia state legislative races, a number of which we weren't supposed to win. We won them in 23. Kentucky's governor, we outperformed. Ohio right here. Oh, the abortion thing could go either way. It's very close. We won by 13 points. And then let's go back to 2022. I mean, my point is, every single time they hand out these garbagey, stupid polls, every single time the New York Times and CNN, these morons, repeat them verbatim like they're truth.
Yeah.
And every single time there's actual humans voting, we outperform anywhere from 7 to like 40 points.
Right.
So I don't know what that tells you. That tells me I'm pretty excited for this election coming up.
And the best part is, those polls everybody hates, as of this week, started showing Biden momentum. There's, you know, Biden's up by decimal points now, but he is rising. Trump is falling because people are getting in the game. People, and we predicted this, people are going to start paying attention in the election year. People are going to pay attention when the primaries are complete, when we have nominees. Now they're like, oh, shit. And the funny thing is, all the fucking belly aching about, oh, Biden again, what they really are, but the average American is saying, oh, fuck, Trump. And that's what's happening, and, you know? So, you
and,
know,
and I'll, last thing, if I have time, I don't know, do I have time?
Just a moment, yep.
The simple thing is, as you know, and you've probably talked about it here before, Lara Trump taking over the RNC was the biggest gift, because all that money, it's already been set up. It goes to Trump's campaign first, his legal bills first, his campaign second, and then everybody else. So in all of these races, where we're overperforming, and that's where the decision has to be made, because we can't play everywhere.
Yeah.
But we're going to have so much more money. Can we beat Josh Hawley in your state?
Maybe.
You know, I think Sherrod Brown now with Bernie Moreno, absolutely.
Absolutely.
If we work hard and do it, we'll hold on here.
Yeah.
But can we pick up and knock off Rick Scott and Ted Cruz? Between them, they've never won by more than 2.5 points. Rick Scott's never won by more than 1.2%.
10,000 votes. Three races. Yeah, 10,000 votes last cycle.
Right. So if we turn people out, Florida and Texas, they are upended the way this Alabama race was, the Pennsylvania race, the Oklahoma race, Swazi's race, you know, all of this stuff, there's simply no reason why an 8 to 10% direction for us means Rick Scott and Ted Cruz get their butts kicked.
Oh,
and, you know, presidentially, I mean, it puts Ohio in play, it puts Florida in play, it puts Iowa in play. So honestly, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to keep staying on offense. We need to keep hitting them hard.
There you go. And that's, you beat me to it. Exactly it. It's not going to happen on its own. And I tell my viewers all the time, it's not going to happen in a vacuum. We can't sit on our laurels. We can't pull a 2016. Let's be honest. We cannot assume we're going to win. We run like we're 10 points behind. Always, always, always. And for you viewers, that means you get in the fight in your local. We talked about Moms for Liberty last week of the show. We got Cliff here. You get in the fight, find a race,
yep.
Find a way to help, write postcards, write emails, every campaign. Hell, I was just on the DNC's website.
Donate, yeah. Knock on doors.
The DNC has a great, you can go to the DNC's website and go to how can, there's, you would not believe, I was just looking at this page the other day in a meeting I was on, the number of ways that the average American just plug in, the DNC has their, and their website where you can make calls just sitting from home. You can just sign up to make calls and help other voters. So you can get involved, but bottom line, what Cliff and I both agree on is we are winning, but we're only going to win if we keep fighting. It's just like, you know, I talk about it a lot, right? I'm an old soldier. Yeah, we may win the battle, but the war won't be won until it's over. And so we still have
a
war to
fight. The thing is also, you know, I'd say quickly is there's, you know, look, any single one of us would take a win by one vote and walk away with it as long as Trump loses.
Yeah.
But there's winning and having Trumpism go on. And there's winning by the kind of margin, knocking off the kind of big name figures, the Lauren Boberts and Ted Cruz's and whatever. It does such damage to their psyche that MAGA falls apart. And maybe, just maybe, we get the remnants of a normal center right party again. The only way that's going to happen is if we crush them.
Agreed.
That's the only way.
Tip. Utter defeat. Well, I want to let you get without telling. Where can our viewers find you? Where can they sign up to watch your videos? Tell us, where can they find you, brother?
Well, you're kind enough to share the Blue Amp channel, but we are rebranding within a week to Cliff's. We're going to be Cliff's Edge, which fits in a lot of ways.
I like it.
But it's at C Schechter, C for Cliff, and S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. You can find me. We're almost at 40,000, so please come subscribe. We do a lot of videos. You can find me on Twitter, where I am less often now, at Cliff Schechter. And because I'm an idiot and clearly I'm a branding guy that wants to make it as difficult as possible for you, at Cliff D Schechter on Threads. Those are the three places where you can find me. And I'll sneak my way back onto Fred's show again.
I love it. Better than hanging out alone. I love to have company. So I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for promoting our channel when you do. And let's keep up the fight, brother. Well, that was a fun show, wasn't it? Cliff's a great guy. I love hanging out with him when I can. I've been his show a couple of times. It's actually the first time I had in mind, so we'll have to do it again sometime. You know, folks, we are in the heat of the battle. We're in the heat of the election season. Our general election, but the president is set. Primaries are occurring all over the place. We've already got reports that there's Republicans running unopposed in some places across the country, while in other places, we're putting up a fight. Here in Missouri, at the state level, they've seen a dramatic double-digit increase in the number of candidates that will be running, Democratic candidates, as running for state house, the biggest in decades. I understand my friend down in Arkansas, Chris Jones, has got a candidate for every single congressional seat. So there won't be any uncontested seats in Arkansas. So it's more important than ever, I think, that we help those Democratic candidates and nominees and get the funding they need. As we've talked about before, you know, 120 of them or 126 Republicans ran with an opponent who barely had enough funds to compete with them last cycle. We want to see that end. That's why I'm so proud to be chairman of the Forgotten Democrats. We are really ramping things up. We had a great town hall last week talking about Ukraine with some great questions and answers from our audience that joined us. It was fantastic. You can easily join our movement. You have a lot of options. You can do a monthly donation, which we love, so you're a member, but you can do a one-off donation. We could use the help, and that money goes directly to candidates to help them run for office in a unique model that sort of crowdsources across multiple candidates who need the most, the people who need money the most get it first. And that's what's wonderful about the Forgotten Democrats model. The easy way to sign up, you can join our email, just text Fred to 3377. 77. That's 33777. Again, Fred to 33777. Or just go right to ForgottenDemocrats.org. We'll put the website up here on the screen. That's ForgottenDemocrats.org. Throw in some money, join our email list, join our movement. We're going to put you to work as we get close to the election. I'm thrilled to be a member of it. It's great. As always, you can find us right here on the Midas Touch Network. You can find us on the On Democracy podcast on YouTube. Our little channel is growing. We're throwing some great content up on there. So I'd love you to join us there as well. You can find me still on X and Twitter because that's where the fun stuff happens. When I say fun, I mean crazy shit. But I'm FP Wellman there. And of course, on Threads, FP Wellman Official on Instagram. I would love you to check out our Substack. It's fpwellman.substack.com. We are doing some great content there. We're putting our videos up there so you can get them early, putting up some of my thoughts on my experiences in the world as well as politics. So join us wherever you can find us. It's always great to have you here. It's always great to hear from you. I always say at the end of every show, make sure you leave a comment, leave a reply, say hi. I will try to say hi to you too. Sometimes we get thousands of them, but I love you guys saying hi to me on the comments on YouTube. I do check it out. In the meantime, as you heard, we're in this fight. We're in this fight together and we're winning. But the way we're going to win is doing the work, and the work comes from people like you. Stepping up locally, stepping up at your state level, stepping up for your favorite congressional race, whatever it takes, get involved in our democracy and we will save it. I'm Fred Wellman here at the Midas Touch Network. I can't wait to see you next week.